You may be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on the behavior of love. The behavior of love. Glory be to God. For that, let's turn to our foundation text. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll begin with verse 1. If I speak with... I'm still a few pages. Does everyone have it? Okay. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Excuse me. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Excuse me. And if I give all my goods, all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Verse 13, but now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest, or the greater of these is love. The greater of these is love. Glory be to God. We have talked about the first characteristic of love, or the first behavior, that love is patient. In other words, that is love in a restrained state. It's what it holds back from doing. Patience. Now, we're going to finally move to the second behavior. Love is kind. So love holds back and restrains itself and controls itself. And then when it does do anything, what it does is that which is kind. So we go from patience, which is at the root of all of love's behaviors, because you have to be under control in order to do that. Mm-hmm. So now we come to what is to love is kind. Kind. Is to do that which is beneficial and useful and needed to advantage another. Now, that's different from what we thought kindness. Kindness, well, we think it's a syrupy, sweet sort of kind of feeling. No. Remember, love is action. So love doesn't blow up like a volcano. It restrains itself. And instead, what it does do, it does that which is beneficial, useful, needed, and advantage to the advantage of another. I'm going to give you, so that's one definition. I mean, they're all going to, I overstate stuff, so here we go. To be kind means to be useful in serving one another. To be kind means to be useful in serving one another. And doing it graciously. So you could, you know, if you're any hunger, feed them. Let's say that. So you go feed them, but you throw the hamburgers at them or something. Here go your shake. Well, that wasn't done graciously. You did feed them, but it wasn't done graciously. So it means to be useful in serving one another and doing it graciously. And these notes are always going to be on the website. They'll get there. So if you're not getting them now, you can always go there and they'll all be there. You can take your time, meditate on it, go through it slowly. Kindness also is active goodwill. It's not just, I bid you goodwill and a fond farewell. No, it's active goodwill. It's action. Remember again, the first one is to do that which is beneficial, useful, needed to advantage another. Yes, it's active goodwill. Kindness doesn't feel generous. It is generous. Mm-hmm. Kindness doesn't desire the welfare of others, but it works toward that welfare for the goodness of others. Do you understand that? It doesn't just feel or desire to want to do. No, it doesn't. So it doesn't just feel generous. It is generous through action. Remember, it's active goodwill. It not only desires others' welfare, but works toward it. Here's some more. Kindness means to display or put yourself on exhibit, to display oneself as useful, to serve one another or to serve someone with the purpose of helping them in a way that gives them an advantage, that gives them a gain, to be helpful and supportive, to provide something beneficial for someone, to do good to and for the offender. Now, if you think about all what I just said, this is what's to be done to the person who's offended you. This is what loving your enemy looks like. Well, hold on, preacher, you done slipped one on me. You're saying I got to do this for my enemy? Hold on, rewind that. So go back through the definition again so I can think of my enemy in mind. Yes, to your enemy, to do that which is beneficial, useful, and needed to advantage your enemy who's offended you. To be kind to your enemy means to be useful in serving him or her and doing it graciously. It's acts of goodwill towards your enemy. It's not feeling generous, because if you go by feelings, then you will never do anything generous for your enemy. So it's not a feeling of generosity. It is generosity. Here is the hamburger. Here is the shake. Here is the fries. And you put it on a platter and set it before him. Your enemy not only desires the welfare of your enemy, but works toward the welfare of your enemy. You display yourself towards your enemy as being useful. You serve your enemy with the purpose of helping your enemy in a way that gives them gain. And you give them an advantage. You help and support your enemy. Provide something beneficial for your enemy. To do good to your enemy. But listen to this. Here's people to help you. The idea concerning kindness is not so much as a sweet attitude. The idea is not so much as a friendly disposition. Putting it in a nutshell, it's not feeling all warm and fuzzy. The idea, rather, is that even though one is injured, right? The enemy has injured you. He's harmed you. You're hurt by what they've done. Even though one is mistreated, one is hurt or harmed, usefulness is rendered on behalf of the offender. So instead of overcoming evil with evil, what you did was usefulness, you render usefulness on behalf of the offender. Deeds of kindness are done that are useful to that person who has offended you. Kind, warm and fuzzy. a syrupy feeling. Kindness is action. Do that which is beneficial, useful, to give them an advantage, to give them a gain, to give them what they need. So let's look at kindness in action, and let's look at it as it's commanded. Kindness is commanded. So let's go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Look at verse 21. Proverbs 25. See, if you're so busy returning the what's been done to you, if you're so busy locking in on rendering that which is useful and beneficial, guess what's not in there? Revenge, being retaliating. Verse 21, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And I always add, poison free. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. And again, poison free. Amen, turn away. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. That's it's some argument about what that means about burning coals. But it could be a kind deed. Back then, they didn't have ovens. Sometimes we don't think it through. They had coals. And sometimes, if you gave, what they would do is give some burning coals into some sort of carrier, thing to carry it in, so they could take it to their spot and have some warmth there. And they would carry it on their head. You know. So it still falls in the, that's one of the interpretations of it. So it still falls upon doing something that is kind and beneficial, needed and useful. You're returning good and kindness for evil. Look at Luke 6, chapter 6. Look at verse 35. By the way, it says, if you have any hunger, give them food to drink. Give them water, food to eat, water to drink. That's a command. It wasn't a suggestion. Luke 6:35. Hold on 1 second. Verse 35. But love your enemies. The word love in the Greek is present, active, imperative. Present means ongoing, all the time. Active means done by you. You're to do it. Imperative is what?
Command.
Love is in the present, active, imperative. Now, come on, preacher. You are telling me that God is telling me I got to love and keep on loving and loving and loving my enemy, not loving one time, and then after that I can hate him? Listen to that now. Why? I loved him. No, it's present. Love and keep on loving enemies. Does not God love and keep on loving us, even when we wrong him? How much more? Is it unfair or unjust for God, our Father, to bless you, to command us to do that when he's doing it himself? And by the way, whose love are we loving our enemy with? Wow. Romans 5:5. For the love of God, the love of God, whose love? God's love. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts our inner being, the core of our being, by the Holy Ghost. He is saying, take my love that I've given you as part of the salvation package, and I'm commanding you how to use it. And I've empowered you to use it. We trip because we think of our human, our flesh is in the way. Our feelings are in the way, not the glory of God. When we're wronged, the first thing that pops in our mind, I've been wronged. Trust me, there have been some ugly things done to probably everyone in here. I mean, real wrong. I mean, real wrong. Criminally wrong. Right. Terrible. I want to slow down and just, so we're not, God knows that. I'm empathetic and sympathetic with you in that. But however, no matter how wrong you've been wronged, he does not give us a pass on not walking love. He flat out said, love and keep on loving your enemies. So he calls them an enemy. You've been wrong. Do you understand that? He didn't say love the person that kind of sort of, you know. No, he's calling them an enemy. Love your enemies. We're commanded to do that. Now, from this point on, you're gonna get one, two, three, four, five, six acts or actions that come after love your enemies, because love is action. So I've titled this little piece here, kindness in action, or what kindness looks like. Remember, you ought to do things that are beneficial, useful, needed, and helpful. So here are what I just say, six things that he does after saying love. First, he says, love your enemies and do good. Now, do good is more of an umbrella term, but you could have easily said, love your enemies and be kind, because kindness is doing good, and doing good is being kind. And then this is how you show kindness. You do good. Good. I know you said, well, good. I know. Just move on to the next thing. I know I over-explained everything, but good means to do something that profits others. Not yourself, it profits others. And in doing that, it shows you to be beneficent, kind, and generous person. It means to do someone a favor to benefit, to do well towards someone, to do right by them. Wait a minute, you're an enemy? We'll barely do that toward friends. But enemies? So the first is do good. What does doing good look like? What are some things that we can do? And it's beautiful because he tells us, well, and lend. Lend money to my enemy? I mean, are we confused here? No, it said love your enemy. This is the same verse? Same verse. Lend, expecting nothing in return. Lend your enemy money or whatever it is and expect nothing in return. That phrase, expect nothing in return, is the spirit in which we are to do good. Listen, Lord help us to hear that. Because a lot of times when you can work yourself up enough to do good towards someone that you really don't like, don't let them not appreciate it. You so and so, I bet it. You did it the wrong. You gave it the wrong spirit. Yeah. I can't believe they didn't. No, yes, ma'am. He said, expecting nothing. Expect nothing in return, even before you do it. I'm doing this and I'm expecting nothing in return. They can take it and spit on it. I don't want this hamburger. Or spit on it. I'm trying to throw it back at you. He said, expect nothing in return. You know why we need to take our time on it? Because it goes such against the grain of how we operate in our lives. Because we're so self-protected. We're so self-focused, self-centered, selfish. Even though we teach and teach and teach and teach, but when we are wrong, man, we just default to what's our flesh. Am I right, Ms. Cheryl? We default. I'm guilty. Remember I told you I'm glad I can spread this on y'all? So y'all get beat too? I've been beat for 5 months. Tamika, the Lord done beat me. Just beat me. Y'all can share in this beating too. Share in that beating. Hallelujah. Lord forgive you. You got to sit this to everybody. I love you. Jesus is Lord. Woo-wee. Expect nothing in return from your enemy. That's the spirit in which we are to do the lending. But look at this, and your reward would be great. Well, see, there it is. See, y'all already helping me to preach it. That's right. Because it comes from God. You're serving God. You're not doing it per se for the enemy. You are, but you're doing it through the enemy secondarily. So primarily you're doing it to obey God, because you're a child of God. That's where we got to keep our focus. And that's why you can love your enemy, do good, be kind, profit them, favor them, do well toward them, treat them right, because you're doing it as unto the Lord. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 right quick. Keep a marker here, as you say back in the day. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23. You got it? Colossians, I want every hand lifted. Have you seen it? I mean, do you have it on your... Come on, I want all eyeballs on it. Colossians 3, you have 3 and 23. I want every eyeball on it. Okay, here we go. Susu, you got it? Okay. Whatever you do. Now, how all-inclusive is that? Right. Whatever you do. Well, what about, hold on, you ain't know what about. It's here, whatever. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, meaning with all of your heart, from the soul in literal Greek. As for the Lord rather than for me, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. That's a mic drop. Do you see that? You're not giving to your enemy. You're not lending to your enemy for the enemy's sake per se. You're serving. When you give to your enemy, you're serving the Lord Christ. And from him, you receive a reward. No matter what the enemy does. Lord God, help us to get this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. To help us, Father God, renew our minds in this area of when we've been wronged. Yeah. That we still fail mightily. Yes. Thank you. Just go back to Luke, rather. Back to Luke chapter 6. So no wonder it says, but love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind. Now listen to this. And you will be sons of the Most High. See, that can be a little confusing. And you will be sons of the Most High. It makes it sound like that if you do this, then you'll be a son of God. Doesn't mean that, because obviously there's no... See, that's why you got to interpret scripture with scripture. Because if the work... If the deeds that you do makes you a child of God, then that's a work salvation. And you know the word of God doesn't teach that at all. It says not of works. For by grace we've been saved through faith, that not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man would boast. So it can't mean that. Although it looks like on the surface it does. What it's saying is, and you will be, is really a word that means you will prove to a watching world that you are a son of the Most High God when you love your enemies. You put on display. You show the world. You make it known clearly. It's a confirmation that you are a child of God when they see you loving your enemies. Look what it says now. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind. Now notice kind here is used. And kind is a synonym for good. So verse 35 at the top, beloved your enemies, and do good, and then you'll be sons of the Most High, for he himself is good. You could say that. Or beloved your enemies and be kind, for he himself is kind. They're synonymous. God is good. God is kind. He's kind to who? The ungrateful and evil men. So we want to love our enemies. How? By doing good. How? Lend. Second one thing we need to do after lending, another doing good, act of good, is be merciful. Verse 36. Just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Why I keep saying just as your Father? Because we're sons of God. He's our Father. So we are to copy Father. He's to be our example. Be followers of God as dear children. Ephesians. Merciful means to show compassion, to be sympathetic towards, to show one's hurt towards, is another way of saying it. To feel in one's stomach for. Now you have that in your gut. You feel the pains that they're hurting. Your heart, as you know, we have phrases like, my heart goes out to them. That's mercy. To have one's heart go out towards. To treat as a loving child. Wow. Be merciful toward the enemy? Keep the enemy in mind. That's amazing. The love of God can just set us in. Man, I've never done toward the enemy. You ought to be, hopefully we can switch over to, wow, God's love is amazing that he can do all of that. That's what I want us to think, rather than, I ain't doing that for that, you know. And you know what? Every time we say that, we are not thinking of ourselves. Because we've done God wrong. We sin all day, every day. We've done it wrong. God has been enduring. Remember the patience of God that started when Adam and Eve sinned? He's been patient all this time. It's not, why did God burn up this person and blow them up and cause a tower to fall? It's not, because if you think about it, yes, there are instances throughout the Old and New Testament where those things happen. But the question not is, why did those happen? It's like, why didn't they happen on every verse of every chapter of every book? You understand that? We got the wrong question. It's not why did the plane fly into the towers? Why haven't they fallen into all the towers, into all the houses? Not why did the Hurricane Katrina hit that? Why didn't it hit your house or my house? Where are we still living? Not why did they get killed? Why are we still living? Wages of sin is death. You got to think like that. So when God, if he wants to put his judgment on display, he has every right. We still living here today. For the most part, I don't know where everybody lives, but for the most part, I think you're probably not going to sleep under the sounds of gunfire and bombs dropping. More than likely. You're probably not going to sleep with a fine ash floating, constantly dripping from the sky, which represented the burning of the Jews' bodies in the crematoriums, in those death camps. Just felt that ash fell for just weeks and months when you were there until you died. We're not going to sleep under that. For the most part. But if we did, he would be righteous in doing it. Be just. We should never ask God, why is this happening to me? It's not why it didn't always happen to you. He would have been going through our thing for 5 months. If never was why, never. Deserve every bit of it. Yes, we owe mercy. Even to our enemies. We owe them that. The Word of God says, owe no man anything but love. That's a debt you'll never pay off. And that's love to your neighbor. Love your, remember, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Well, who's my neighbor? Every, when you're a Christian, the whole world became your neighborhood and everybody in it, your neighbor. They had to try to figure out, well, who is my neighbor? Because that's what Jesus, the lawyer, Word of God in the King James said, and the lawyer, willing to justify himself, comma, said, well, who is my neighbor? Good, you step right into that one. I'm going to show you. Now you got real quiet because the neighbor in that story, what we call the Good Samaritan, was a group of people, the Samaritans, who the Jews hated. And in that story, the Samaritan showed himself to be neighborly more than the priest and the rabbi. And today would be elders, bishops, and pastors. The clergy walked past the hurt guy. One that everybody despised showed himself neighborly. And Jesus said, which one of those do you think was neighborly? Well, the Samaritan. Good. Go and do likewise. What? Follow a Samaritan? Yes. We owe mercy even to those who are our enemies. Again, reviewing mercy, showing compassion, to be sympathetic towards, to show one's heart toward, to fill in one's stomach for, to have one's heart go out toward. Notice all that inward, not external. It's inward. To treat as a loving child. The feeling which is moved to pain at another's suffering. That's merciful. To show kindness or concern for someone in serious need. Notice show kindness, meaning you're doing something beneficial, helpful, useful, and gives them an advantage. That's merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Verse 37. So you're to love. How? By doing good. What are some good things? Lend. Be merciful. 37. Do not judge. Oh boy, this is the most misunderstood. Even the center of the craziest, he can be the most murderous gangster, killed 5 people last night and 10 people the night before, and they all know this verse. I don't care, we don't know where the Bible is. They never had a Bible. They know this verse in the Bible. Don't judge. You say don't judge me. Man, you know, you never seen a Bible? No. Sure have it. I ain't never seen a Bible, but I know that's in there. Everybody, not everybody, everybody, that's beyond everybody. Everybody know this verse. Do not judge. And it's the most misaligned, misunderstood verse. So let's get it right, biblically speaking. Do not judge. First of all, let's go about what it's not. Because the world today has it like this. Especially a Christian. If a Christian says something like, homosexuality is a sin, abortion is murder, don't judge. No. That's an incorrect use of that. You've heard me say this many times. That's not judging, because God has says, for example, that homosexuality is an abomination. So God has already judged that to be a sin. Am I correct? All I'm doing is repeating the verdict. Are you listening to me? I'm not judging them. I'm repeating what the judge has already said concerning homosexuality, concerning abortion, concerning adultery. Do you understand that? That's the world is saying, when you pronounce that their sin is a sin, they say you're judging. That's an incorrect use of this verse. And that's done so that you won't call their sin a sin. No, Jesus is not saying don't call sin a sin. Not at all. So that's not what it is. If God has already judged that to be a sin, then the verdict is already out on their actions. Murder, sin, adultery, and so forth. Now, what Jesus is saying here is different. When he says, do not judge, it means, and again, these are going to be on the website. It means to form an opinion. I got three words here. To form an opinion rashly, unfairly, and with prejudice concerning another's behavior. To form an opinion rashly, I'm going to give you synonym behind rashly, unfairly, and with prejudice concerning another's behavior. Rashly means hastily. Now we do this. We do this regularly. To form an opinion rashly means hastily, impulsively, recklessly, thoughtlessly, foolishly, suddenly, carelessly, ill-advisedly. Just throw out an opinion. We see somebody and we just, based on what we think about them, we just walk away, we just do it. So we do it hastily, impulsively, recklessly, we do it without even second thought. Foolishly, suddenly, carelessly, ill-advisedly. And we actually begin to treat them based on what the opinion we formed on them. That's just one word, rashly. Not only do we do it rashly, but we do it unfairly. It's not fair. We do it unfairly is, here's a synonym for that, dishonorably, fraudulently, bigotedly, discriminatorily, incorrectly, and wrongfully. Maybe there's a white person. You don't like white folk. You don't like Arabs. You don't like Asians. So you already forming, you got a preconceived, but well, let me go to the next one. Because with prejudice mean that you're doing it because you got a bias, a preconception, a prejudgment. So you already got all this going on, and you got flesh knocking on the door, always threatening, and boy, we just let that flesh leak in a little bit. We form an opinion rashly, unfairly, and with prejudice concerning their behavior. And I stopped there three times right at that point. And once you get all those words, what they mean, then concerning other behavior, let me finish it. And, you know this is coming from me, with gavel-dropping certainty, leap to a harsh conclusion concerning their behavior. So I'm going to read it all again. It means to form an opinion rashly, unfairly, and with prejudice concerning another's behavior, and with gavel-dropping certainty, leap to a harsh conclusion concerning their behavior. So you're like, they're this or they're that. That's it. You have come to a conclusion that's harsh, unfair, based on an opinion of what you see externally concerning their behavior.
One more time, please.
Okay, Kalexi, get these on note, but I will go one more time. On what, the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay, amen. You ain't going to get it all, but that's okay, because they will be there. He said, yes. All right, you form an opinion rashly. Means hastily, impulsively, recklessly, thoughtlessly, foolishly, suddenly, carelessly, advisedly. And think about it. It's sudden. We do it suddenly. We do it without even thinking. Because we're so in the habit of just, no, we see somebody, it's habit. We just start forming opinions. We do it without even thinking. Yes. And that's programmed by the world, Satan, and the world, and our flesh. Without even thinking. Then we do it unfairly, which is unfair, dishonorably, fraudulently, bigotedly, discriminatorily, and incorrectly, and wrongfully. That's unfairly. And with prejudice, bias, preconception, prejudgment. You have a preconception. Maybe someone has a little weight on them. Maybe someone has some height on them. Maybe someone looks, in your opinion, looks beautiful. Maybe someone doesn't look, in your opinion, as beautiful. And you take all of this and you just form an opinion about it. And then, let's finish it, to form an opinion rashly, unfairly, and with prejudice concerning another's behavior, and with gavel-dropping certainty leap to a harsh conclusion concerning their behavior. You just jump and say, you know what? They are that. They ain't no good. Look at it. Look at how you walk. How you walk? I wasn't on the walk. Man. I mean, how many times we see somebody with some crazy hair? White, black, don't make a difference. You think, no, he ain't right. Look at that hair. Come on now. Come on, fella. Yeah, we know we had it just based on hair. Look at clothes. The clothes dirty. If a white guy got some stringy hair and his clothes is dirty, he a hippie. He could be a pastor. We don't know. We don't know. That's why it was that song went for. Greg is pastor. No, you mean Paul. No, I mean Greg. No, you mean Paul. No, I mean Greg. No, I mean Paul. Yeah, because Greg, not Greg. Not this dude. But see, that's who God chooses. The one that don't look right and got problems. Right? Not many mighty. Not many noble. He chose them weak. He says all that. I don't follow why pastors think we are in the bag of chips. He said to choose the weak, not the mighty, not the noble, but the weak. We really, really, really need help in this area. Father God, we need it so bad because we are so in a habit. I think Susu said we're programmed.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Just by default, we just stop rashly without any thought, careless, and just treat them. The ugly part is, with gavel dropping, certainly, we bam, bam, they are that, or they are whatever I think that's who they are. Mm-hmm. Me and treat them that way. That's not right.
Right.
That's what judging means, y'all. Mm-hmm. It means to criticize. Yeah, you don't even know it. You don't know them. You don't know them. Yeah. Jesus, here, just want to add a little note, does not mean that we are not to form opinions, but not to form them rashly, unfairly, and with prejudice. And you can look at someone and just keep it, you know, there. You can pray about it or whatever it is, but don't drop that gavel. Because look at the next part. Do not judge, and you will not be judged, and do not condemn. See, pronounce guilty. See, based on what you saw, you pronounce them guilty or whatever it is that you're thinking. Now we're going to go over all of this again because this is one of the attributes, and the committee hear this a million times. So I don't mind. I'm probably going to teach the exact thing with some other thing behind it when we come to love thinks no evil. Because when you come to a rash conclusion and condemn that person, that and they're not that, that's evil. Because why? You don't know what's in their heart.
That's right.
See, when you start speaking to intent, that's when you are in sin. Because 1 Samuel 16:7, I think it is, it says, man sees not as God sees.
Yeah.
Man sees the outside. God sees the heart. So the reason that you never, why judging is a sin, is because you are implying what's in a person's heart and then deeming them that. But you are only seeing the external. So because you can only see the external and never the heart, unless God supernaturally shows you, then we should never judge. You should never leap to a harsh conclusion concerning someone's behavior. This is a preview of getting to thinking no evil or always put the best construction. Are we always giving people the benefit of the doubt? No, we don't. We do not give them the benefit of the doubt. That's what that means in more today's vernacular. To give them the benefit of the doubt. Put the best construction on the situation until there's irrefutable, irrefragable proof that the others are, and then even then you still pray for them. That's what judging means. It's a form of opinion, rashly. It means to claim to sort of know what's in there. You are going after the character of a person based on externals. Clothes, hair, the culture, color of the skin. We have prejudice. We have biases. Even black folk don't like darker black skin, black folk people. And the darker black got problems with the lighter skin. I mean, with even those same culture. My Lord. Good night. It took a white woman to tell me because we're so used to saying good hair and bad hair, good hair. And I was teaching at Dearborn. You heard this before, bear with me. I did my student teaching in Dearborn. I was only black in the entire school, about 3,000, including students and staff. Janitors, cooks, everybody was white. I was only black in the entire school. I went there on purpose, wanted to go there. Loved it. Great experience. And I'm talking to my critic teacher or supervising teacher. And I was mentioning, that's also, they got good hair. She said, good hair? What's good hair? I said, well, you know, hair, it's all good. See, I've been all around black people. Black people, we all talk about good hair, bad hair. No one never challenged that at all. I'm like, what the world? I never thought of. Because if God made it, it's all good. Come on, somebody. I go back to my old character. Come on, somebody. If God made it, it's all good. We got problems, y'all. We need to be saved, faith, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. We got problems. And as in the words of Whitley, we got a plenty of problems. We got a plenty of problems. Didn't the genius pray in the right prayer, fix us, Lord. Yes, he saved us. But what comes after justification? Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Yes, sir. We need help. Petty pentagram. Need some help, y'all. Can't do it alone. Wake up. Wake up, everybody. Hallelujah. We need help. If you think you can do this thing by yourself with all these problems. See, one big thing this series is pointing out, that's how messed up we are. That's what it's pointing out, at least for me. We messed up. In the words of Martin Lawrence, to never quote him. But we toe up from the flow up.
Right. That's right.
We really are. Oh my Lord, oh my God. This love has just put a microscope on all the ugly. Jesus, help us. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Let me just give a moment. I got to get myself together. But you know what? Right now, what's being put on display, Word of Life, is his grace. Because when he shows us, that's grace. How many millions of real Christians don't see themselves? Or if they do, they see themselves as being all
right.
When they know they're not all right. We struggle in love, walking in love. We struggle in humility. We need help. We are biased. We are prejudiced. We're selfish. We're self-centered. We'll hurt people and don't even know it. And sometimes they tell you you don't even care. And that's scary. That's really scary. And you call yourself a Christian. No wonder. Is it any wonder why Jesus said, by this, meaning love, everybody going to know that you're my... I see why.
Right.
He said, this is your social security. This is your ID. It's love. Mm-hmm. And we're failing. We're the ones equipped with God's love to show it, and we're failing miserably to a watching world.
Yes.
That's what makes it so sad. They're not seeing love from the Christian. Or they're seeing it very few and far between. It's unfortunate. We eat each other for breakfast just with bitterness and anger. I'm talking about real Christian versus real Christian.
Yes.
This is the Church of Corinth.
That's right.
This is the thing to all these Christians. The whole love chapter went to Christians. Because there's a bunch of sinners acting. No, sinners don't know how to love. They don't have the love of God. A Christian do. Sinners and Christians do. The church of Corinth, it's the church at Corinth. It's the people of God. Don't judge, will not be judged. Don't condemn, you'll not be condemned. Because remember, whenever you do these things, whenever you're doing it, somebody's doing it to you. That's what Jesus is saying. If you judge everybody, coming to harsh conclusions, wrath, and unfairly and with prejudice, somebody's doing it to you. He said, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. In other words, if you judge, you'll be judged. If you condemn, you'll be condemned. So how are we to do right? We are to do good. What does doing good look like? Lend. Be merciful. Do not judge. Do not condemn. And this is something. Your enemy. Wow. Do not condemn. And at the end of verse 37, and you will be condemned. And pardon, and you'll be pardoned. What? Forgive. Release. Let it go. Move on. Don't hold a grudge. Don't allow a root of bitterness in your heart. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Notice how the Lord says it, love it back. You don't judge, you'll not be judged. If you don't condemn, you'll not be condemned. If you're merciful, you'll be merciful. You'll show mercy. And if you pardon, you'll be pardoned. So he'll move on the hearts of people to be merciful to you because you've been merciful to others. You're on the job, you spill something, break something, you know, let you know the manager has mercy on you because you had mercy on somebody else before. And then the last thing, give. So this is the first time, I don't know if we've ever seen it, but you see how this is all in the context of loving your enemies? Give is taken out of its plugged in context of love and stuck over here, you know, into the giving tithes. Now, that's fine. It covers that too. But very few Christians understand that in the context, let me plug it back in, it's in the context of loving your enemies, of giving love. So if you go back to verse 36, he says, and be kind, do good, how lend, be merciful, verse 36. 37, don't judge. 37, and you won't be judged. Do not condemn. 37, pardon. Verse 38, give. You see the flow. Mm-hmm. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure. Press down, shake together, running over. What are they going to give? Yes, it can work. It's a principle. It can work in finances. But he's talking about love, mercy, pardon, forgiveness. You do that, and people are just God will move on the hearts of people. Just forgive you. Yeah. Move on past that. Pardon. Be merciful to you. Yeah. Yeah. Show you all kind of mercy and grace. Yes. In abundance. That's the flow of this. We got our work cut out. Father God, we need you. And if we didn't think we needed you before this teaching, then I think we're cured of that nonsense. Because that's sheer madness. We need you immensely. And thank you, Father God, if we're born again, we have you. We have your love in our hearts as a present right now possession. You are our helper. He said that we may boldly and confidently say, the Lord is my helper. So we got help too. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is on my side and you're on our side. So you're giving us your love. You're helping us. You're on our side. Well, you know what? We thank you for helping us to walk in love toward everybody. And then the world will know that we are your children. And this we will do by your power, grace, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.